from your listening, that one of the things that's very difficult to do is for us to submit our will to God and to one another. In other words, we don't like it. And as a result, that does make it difficult to do. For us to say, and some of us can say it, but what we really mean it is another thing. But for us to say, speak, Lord, and I will listen, I will do what you ask me to do, and I'll do whatever you command, is a very difficult thing. And for me, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And this is what our series is all about. Learning to submit and give our wills over to the Father and to serve and help one another. Now, let's go to our text. We have four more verses that I'd like you to see, or four scriptures. And in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, it says, "You shall not bear false witness," or lie. That's what the words mean, false witness. "You shall not lie against your neighbor." Okay, that's the ninth in the series of ten. So let's cover the next scripture in Matthew 15:19. It says, "For out of the heart," and this self is where most of our causes come from, "for out of the heart come evil thoughts," murders, adulterers, fornicators, or fornications, false witness, or liars, and slanderers. That comes out of the heart. Okay, in the next one, Ephesians 4, verse 25, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for you are members of one another." And the last one, Ephesians 4:29, says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for what? Edification." Edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. This message today is not my intent, or it's not my intent, and may sound like it as we proceed, but it's not my intent to be negative. But sometimes the facts that we have to present, when we present the love of God, it sounds like it's negative, but it's not intended to be that way if it does. My next message, it will be on a similar subject, but it's going to be on God-wearing eyes, put out there, where it leads in that direction, being on people of integrity, how we can be people of integrity, based upon what we learned from today's lesson. I believe that these ten principles are eternal, and that provide a basis for us to have a correct relationship with God, with one another, and the world around us. And it's very essential. It's not as true, but it's very essential that we get down what God is trying to say. And of course, as I said, we know these ten precedents as the Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. But I also want to say that if we violate them, even if in the case of those who were intended for under the old law, if we violate them, things will be, or life will be, less fulfilling than less than happy. And so this morning, I want to cover this ninth principle that says you shall not bear false witness or lie against your neighbor. This ninth principle, eternal principle, is what has been in existence since the word is given. It's given from God. It is for us to always tell the truth. That's what he wants. He wants us to always tell the truth. Now ask yourself, that's what God wants. It is difficult to do. And naturally, the response you probably will say to yourself, yes, it's very difficult to do. But the question comes is, are we willing to submit to God's will in this area as well as in the other ones that may not seem to be as difficult to obey? Are we willing to submit to God in this area? Now, we have some big problems here today, and if we look at our culture, if we look at the world around us, the world that we live in, we see that it's in the line and deception. And as a result, almost everyone has grown accustomed to lying or shaving the truth, not being completely honest. And that's sad. Now, let me give you an example so you understand what I'm saying. We're in to the political season. We're getting ready at the end of this year to elect a new president and new senators and speakers, or not speakers, but House representatives and many other government officials. And I think back to the last election, I look at the many things that were said, and I don't recall a single politician that did not promise more than that last election than they could possibly deliver. Now, what were they trying to do? They were trying to get your attention. They were trying to tell you things that would get you to vote for them, even if it was changing the truth a bit. Even if they knew it, they were possible to do. But they knew that, and we knew that, when they promised it, didn't we? But we didn't necessarily want to accept it, but we did believe it, the Lord. Everyone, from the president down to the last person who's elected, maybe it's not the school board members, maybe it's something else, but anyone in a political arena, almost everyone, I won't say everyone because I don't know that for sure, but most everyone I know is into telling half truths. Business lies are everywhere. The revenue of the business world, from the major oil companies to the local car dealerships. And just to give you an example, I think it was Exxon has had a record amount of money they made last year. And we're seeing that at the gas stations or at the gas pump. And we're asking why. How can these people be making so much money and we're the ones that's paying for it? And all around, they're the ones that's deciding how much things go up or down. You see, the world, the media, is built upon lies. I'll give you a few more examples. The commercial says, use this cologne, then the ladies will flock to your door. Have you seen that, guys? Some of you tried it. Use this toothpaste, and lots of sex will find you irresistible. I've seen that. Well, turn this credit card. This is the one I see most frequently on TV. Turn this credit card and I want to thank you are successful. And I think the one that I see most frequently is Capital One. And all these bad things are happening. People around the person who's carrying the Capital One card, but he's fine. Because he's probably in the good hands and he's very successful. Subscribe to this magazine. It will make you rich. I've heard that and seen that at work with you and young engineers coming in. Drive this car, and it will boost your self-esteem. Now, if we look at religion, it's not escaping devil's mouthtrap as well. TV evangelists promise health, wealth, and prosperity for only send a few dollars more to them. And Dr. Robert Wells, involved with trying to help a young couple in their marriage situation, it didn't work out, the baby finally ran off. But the man, I wanted to continue counseling with him. And he says, no, I'm going back to the church I left because I want to become rich. Now, it's a local congregation, a big one. The son, if you come and you attend here, you're going to be rich because that's what God wants you to be, is rich. And he really believes that. And so he went back there. Okay. In many cases, I think a lot of us do the fact that we would rather believe a lie than believe the truth or accept the truth for what it is. I also heard a story about an older lady. If you're sitting in her living room and looking towards her kitchen, you'll see bottles and bottles of stuff on the kitchen table. And it seems as if she had been to a health food store and Valbon had convinced her that she took these things, these vitamins, and these pills, and these pills, and these pills, that she would be cured of her cancer. So she spent a lot of money. Now I want to stop that those seven would help her be cured of her cancer. She wouldn't want to do what her doctor had said for her to do or be able to help herself. So
she wrote this out, then it wasn't too long afterwards that she passed away. Now that's sad, but it comes back to that same point. You'd rather believe a lie than the truth. And I know that actual situation very similar to this, a lady who wrote this for me at morning, her mother-in-law, her sister's husband, was dying of cancer, and someone had convinced them to drink this melon juice. Basically, it was a cure-all. Now, it would flush a lot of bad stuff out of the system, and then he'd be much better, and he'd be cured of his cancer. Well, he died 2 years later. $1,000 that this lady was going to need on this stuff. In fact, he was supposed to, I'll say that, he was supposed to die within 6 months, and it took him 2 years. But whether that was the result or not, the lemon juice, I don't know. Now, don't get me wrong, I've not put words in my mouth. I'm not against health foods or natural remedies. I'm not against that. And I certainly believe in the power of God to heal by whatever means He chooses to heal us. But I am against deceiving people. And that's what we see going on in the world. People are being deceived because people are greedy. And many times we as Christians fall into that trap. I recently read an article entitled 19 Great American Lies. Well, I went through them and I threw out there that looked pretty ridiculous, so they were probably, this is legitimate, this is what I'm going to share with you. But there were 12 that I thought were classics that I know that we used or know about, someone who's used it or been used on us. For example, the first one is if a creditor calls, we tell them the check is in the mail. Well, maybe they tell us if they're asking for money back on something. Well, I'll start my day up tomorrow. No, it never comes. Or, we service what we sell. We got told that it's real. We'll take care of you for the next 20 years. Now, we remember the doctor will call you right back. Now, that has happened never to me. A couple days later, they call, but in some cases, I'm sure it has. In other words, your money will be cheerfully refunded. Maybe. And one size fits all. I'll just give you the rest of these. This has been more than it hurts you. I'll take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes of your time to explain whatever it is I want to sell you, and that'll work. Your table will be ready in a minute, and you go to the restaurant. Let's have lunch sometime. Sometime never comes. It's not the money, but the principle. Or, I'm from the government, especially the tax assessors when they come around. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Well, yeah. Are you money? Okay. You see, brothers and sisters, lying is just an accepted way of life for too many of us. This is something that we acknowledge is going to be there, and we more or less accept it. Then we get caught up in it. But the thing that's sad is that we find these things that I just said with you amusing. We find them amusing, but God doesn't think so. He does not likewise. And He doesn't want us to be in part of that in any shape or form. But you see, we have allowed the world to force us into its mold, into accepting what they accept. Now, why does God not like it? I know God doesn't think that lying is funny. And why is it? Because God knows that lying destroys relationships. Okay? He doesn't think it's funny because it destroys relationships. First of all, it destroys our relationship with Him. See, it did in the Garden of Eden with this relationship with Adam and Eve, and it does with us. Lying destroys relationships within our families. How many of you have had someone within your family tell you something and it turned out to be an untruth? How much did that hurt? How much did it go deep? I know of an entire family that was destroyed because the father
told the kids things that were not true. And as they begin to find these things out, they were false, they were not true, one by one, they give up on God. Now, why? Well, I think partially the image of God came through the Father. That's what Satan wanted. Okay? Lies have destroyed relationships within the church. It destroys relationships at our jobs, or a place of employment, or work. And it destroys relationships from young people at schools. So God has given us these eternal principles to live by. And that is, do not lie. He doesn't want us to lie. He said it very clearly. Do not lie. Now we know that Satan is a liar, and he's the father of all lies. The Bible tells us that. And there never has been a lie that we've never heard of or told that we didn't instigate. He's behind almost everyone. Well, let's see these scriptures online. I've got a number of them here, and I just want you to read it as quickly as you can, and I've got some things that I'm going to share with you afterwards. But the first one comes from John chapter 8, verse 34. And he's talking to the Pharisees. And he says to them, he says, You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He's pretty plain with it. He is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. And he tells the Pharisees, you are your father the devil. Okay? When we imitate him, we follow him. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And shortly thereafter we hear about, or see that he drops dead because of his lie. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 17 through 22. It says, he who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness, or a liar, deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Notice what it says. Truth to us will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Okay? Let's look at the next one. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you lay aside the old self with its evil practices. Okay, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things, and this is really a good one, there are six things which the Lord hates. Okay, do we want to be a part of anything that he hates? I don't think so. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, number one. Number two is a lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood, number three. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that run rapidly to evil. And number six, a false witness who utters lies. Actually, there's two there. They're pretty similar. And then, the thing that is an admonition to him is one who spreads strife amongst the brothers. God doesn't like it, and he never will like it. Okay, and then Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, but for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the immoral person, the sorcerers, and the adulterers, and notice, what does that say? All liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Where are they going? Where Satan's going. Okay? Because their father's the devil, which is the second death. Okay? God takes a line right along with all these bad things. Really bad things. Okay? And then one more, Revelation 21:7. And nothing unclean, and no man who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, through the heavens. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I think these scriptures are clear about how God feels about lying. But if you don't get anything else out of them, there's three things I feel are very important that we understand. There are three things about these verses that we must get and understand about God. Number one, God hates lying. I don't want to be a part of anything he hates, right? Amen? Okay, he hates lying. He is total truth, and lying is totally against his nature. Now, number two, how bad he hates it is indicated by the other sins he places lying next to. Murderers, immoral people, sorcerers, adulterers, just to name a few. Okay, and then number three, liars will not have a place in heaven. I don't want to miss out. You? I don't think any of us do. So that's why we've got to change this. That's why if we're under any of this in any way, shape, or form, we don't want to have anything to do with it, because we're going to miss out on our opportunity to spend eternity with God. Okay, now that we know how God feels about lying, let's define it. Let's give it a little bit more definition. This brings us to what we're talking about today. A lie is any intentional deception. It's any intentional deception, whether with the mouth, the pen, or by the way we live, in order to deceive someone, either to gain an advantage or to save face. Okay? It can be by the mouth, it can be by the pen, by the way we live, to gain an advantage or to save face. It's an intentional thing. It's an intentional deception. But with that in mind, I also want to say it's possible to lie unintentionally. Now that sounds like I'm switching channels here, but not really. It is possible to lie unintentionally. For example, I might tell you that the Mariners or the Huskies or the Seahawks or something's going to happen this afternoon at 2:30. When in fact it's going to happen at 6:30 or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, or maybe it happened yesterday. Now, what happened? Did I tell you a lie intentionally? No, I did tell you something was wrong, but it was based upon the information I had at the time. Also, there are times when I'm speaking here from the pulpit, or somebody else is, or in a class, I may be teaching a class, or I might quote a scripture, and give the wrong Bible reference, unintentionally. Now, that's not lying. It's simply a mistake. And I think not too long ago, about 6 months ago or so, Ivan mentioned one to me that I'd given the wrong scripture. And I appreciate that, because I don't want to leave something untrue out there for people to believe. And that's why it's important that we work with one another and do our best to live for God and to give Him the Word, so that we know what He expects of us and wants of us, as well as to help us all stay on the straight and narrow. Now, I want to go back to lying. Lying is an intentional deception, though. In other words, if I am into that, if I do things like tell you an untruth, I'm trying to deceive someone, either to gain their advantage or to save face. Now, since our not lying determines where we're going to spend eternity, the question is, the question that we all have to answer is just how can we tell the truth all the time? We know what the Bible says about where liars are going to spend eternity, so how is it that we can make sure that we're telling the truth all the time? Well, I've got a few things here that I want to share with you. And the first one is to tell the truth completely. Never tell a partial truth or a half-truth. Tell the truth completely. Why? Because our relationship with God, our relationship with one another in the church, our relationships within our marriages, our relationships with our neighbors and companions at work or school depend upon us telling the truth completely. That's what God wants, and we can't give a half-truth and expect Him to be happy about it. So don't sweep half-truths under the rug and then expect them not to show, because sooner or later they're going to catch up. After a while, there's a big bump or a barrier in our relationships that we can't get over or around because we assert our relationship with half-truths and insinuations. Don't do that. Now, let me give you an example. Remember when President Clinton, and I'm not picking on President Clinton, but this one came to mind when it was putting it together, but when he was asked if he'd ever smoked marijuana, remember that question was posed to him? And his answer at the time was, I've never broken the laws of this country. Now, I heard it the night the question was asked. I saw it on TV. And I said, he's not being honest. And nonetheless, that was his answer. I've never broken the laws of this country. You see, he didn't tell the truth completely. Later, when pressed for the truth, he admitted to using marijuana in England. He hasn't broken the laws of this country, but he did in England. Okay? But if he just said, yeah, I did, it would have been a whole lot different. But he said, no, I didn't do it. Then later on, he admitted to the truth. There was another part of that, too, that he said. Anyway, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 10, it says, he who winks the eye causes trouble. The New International Version says, he who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. Okay, what was he doing? He was just winking his eye at the real truth. Then it brought trouble. I believe that both of these translations are saying, he who holds back the truth causes trouble for himself or for somebody else. And sometimes we're guilty of this and we don't want to get involved. We say things, if we see a witness something, we tell the person who's asking us, did you witness it? Well, I didn't see anything. Or I see this in the medical profession. A doctor refuses to tell the truth to a patient for one reason or another, and later the patient and family have to suffer some ugly consequence, unprepared, because of what they were told. You see, God works through providence, and our being dishonest hurts His intent. Abraham found this biblically true statement when he told Amalek that Sarah was his sister. He told him, he says, well, she's just my sister. You know what I'm going to have her. The half-truth brought terrible consequences, didn't it? Okay? So God wants us to tell the full truth and tell it completely. Secondly, He wants us to tell the truth consistently. Not just when we feel about it, you know, feel like with it, but He wants us to be consistent. He not only wants us to tell the truth completely, but He wants us to be consistent when we do. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in Him in all aspects, grow up in all aspects into Him. So, as God's children, we are to speak truth. We are to deal in the truth, and we are to live truth. How else is the world going to see Christ within us if we don't? But do we? Do the world, when they're looking at us, see people who are completely 100% honest? People who, no matter what, are willing to serve God. People who live a lifestyle that depicts honesty and depicts that they are God's children. Now, think about it this way. If I'm honest with you only 95% of the time, how can you know, meaning the trustee, where I'm into that 5%? How can you know that if I'm only honest 95% of the time? Well, how about our marriage relationship? If our spouse is only faithful to us 99% of the time, how do we know we can trust them in other situations? How about that 1%? God wants us to be 100% faithful. Genuine trust in any kind of a situation is 100% honesty and nothing less will do. If everyone is ever told an untruth and you find out about it, it takes a long time before they can have their complete trust in you, even as a Christian. Again, a little dishonesty, a little lie, destroys relationships. In the parable of God's divine love expressed by Solomon, the Song of Solomon, in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom." Now, when I was thinking about this little dishonesty thing, a little lie, what came to mind was a statement I heard over and over again about the foxes. The foxes that spoil the wine. And I'm trying to find, oh, well, where is that? I've heard it many times. Where is that? And I asked Carol, she says, what are you talking about? It's not in the Bible. And so I said, well, I got it someplace. And so I went on a hunt for it. And this is what I found. Yeah, we could say it, that's a short version of this. But what this is telling us is that the foxes, if they were allowed to run wild in the vineyard, they're going to knock off a number of the blossoms that will produce fruit. And that's what's going to ruin the vineyards, to ruin the crop that's to come. And this is similar, very similar. The growth and fruitfulness of a relationship, an intimate relationship, can be marred if we allow those little things to run wild. Just a little dishonesty can create a real big problem. And lies are like the little foxes that run around and ruin the harvest. Lies can ruin the relationship. You see, relationships are built on trust. They're built on complete trust. And if we can't be trusted, we're not going to have a lasting relationship. Pretty soon, the person that we're being dishonest with, or people, will soon slowly move away because they don't like to be in that situation. Okay, next. The next thing we do is a way to help ourselves make sure we make it to heaven is tell the truth lovingly. Again, Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. In love? In love. Speaking the truth in love, we have to grow up in all aspects of it. Now, I've shared that scripture several times, but it keeps coming back. We are to speak the truth lovingly. But even though we are to do that, we will never use the truth as a club. You know anyone that does do that? You know anyone who may have caused people to turn away from God because they use the Bible or any other truth as a club to get them to do what they wanted them to do? You see, God has to be in control. And He wants us to give the truth in love. Love is what convicts. Love is what motivates. You see, we can't force people to do what we want them to do. But we can tell them the truth, we can be honest with them, and we can pray for them. And most of all, we must tell and teach them the truth in love, allowing them to respond if they are motivated by their understanding of that truth. Okay, again, let's listen to Paul from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear it." Brothers and sisters, people are more likely to change their lives when truth is presented in love and as a way of lifting them up. Okay, the first thing that we can do is to tell the truth tactfully. Tell the truth lovingly, also tell it tactfully. The wise man Solomon gives this admonition in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. He says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Now, what he's saying here is that truth sets people free. That must be presented with the right attitude, the right motive, and the manner. You see, the truth can hurt or it can heal. The truth can develop or it can destroy. The truth can build up or it can tear down. It can divide or it can devastate. So it must be given with wisdom. You must course along with that love. Even tough truth must be presented with tact. Words have the power to make a point or it has the power to make an enemy. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, it says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Now my translation says, this is Bill Church's translation, a thoughtful, intelligent person thinks before he or she speaks. He or she doesn't lash out to hurt, but allows his words to teach and to benefit the listener. That's one thing I always go by. If I'm teaching, I'm going to try to help those who are listening to me as much as possible. You see, brothers and sisters, it's very essential that we put our minds into gear before we put our mouths into gear. Because the tongue can do a lot of damage if it's not controlled. And the Bible again tells us that. And so, presenting tough truth demands we plan our presentation carefully. Okay, let's go to the next point, what we can do to help ourselves. What causes us a lie? What causes us a lie? Well, I think Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, this last part of that verse, and Matthew 15, verse 19, gives us the answer. 12:34 says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where is all the problem? It's in the heart. And it's the rather overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what is the mouth saying? It's that which comes from the heart, and that usually is not good. Well, Matthew 15:19 says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, again lies, and slander. It comes from the heart. And so you see, brothers and sisters, lying is a heart issue. That's what causes us to lie. It's what we have in our heart. Yeah, we speak it with our tongue or our mouth, but it's not a tongue or a mouth problem. It's what's in the heart that creates the problem. The tongue and the lips only reveal what's inside. But the real issues is what's in the heart. Now, why? Okay, what causes it? Now, why do we lie? Well, I believe the best answer would be noting the heart issues or the motives behind our lying. First, I think we lie because we want to hurt somebody. I think that's probably the number one thing. We want to hurt somebody. Now, the hard issue here is revenge or retaliation or retribution. Somebody's done something to hurt us, and so we want to get back at them. We're hurt and we're angry. We're resentful. We're bitter. And because we are, we tend to take it on ourselves to rectify the situation by getting back, usually through gossip or slander, false testimony of some kind. And so, what do? We twist the truth about someone who we believe mistreated us in some way, or about someone whom we are jealous. And wrongfully or not, the person's reputation is usually tarnished, and it may be hurt beyond repair. And sometimes we don't even care. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. It's not true. Words have the power to destroy. And if that, you don't believe that, listen sometimes to the things you say to your children or the things that are being said to you and how much of an impact they have upon you and how you feel. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if you don't believe in any other reason, did you get that scripture? Or did I not do it? Oops, I guess I didn't have it there. But I encourage you to look it up. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the person who gossips and slanders and tells half-truths, the truth, he's the one he or she is talking about. Okay, but I encourage you to look up Proverbs 18:21, and also, I mean, I just came up here, Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it crushes. Brothers and sisters, we must be careful. We must be very careful about our thoughts. And again, in Matthew 12, verse 34, it says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay, secondly, we lie to escape the consequences. Basically, we're cowards. The motivation here, or the heart is hit with fear. I would say many, if not all of us, are guilty of not telling the truth because of fear. Adam and Eve were afraid, so they lied to God. Adam did the typical thing that most men do. My wife did it. It's my wife's fault. And Eve said it was the serpent's fault. Now, it's something that we do, pass it on to others, when in reality, it is our problem. Now, Randy President Kennedy not tell the truth about his marijuana smoking? Or Randy Abraham lied twice, and in the face of powerful rulers, she only was Sarah, was his sister, and told the full truth that she was his wife? Why did they do this? And that's the main reason why. Why did Peter lie denying Jesus? Well, it comes down to one thing. Fear of the consequences. That's the reason. It's fear. Fear of what might happen to us. And it's a powerful motive for lying, and Satan uses it to the maximum. Okay, the third reason we lie is to impress others. The motive here is insecurity. It's ego. It's conceit and pride. Stressing the truth is something we want to do in order to help our ego, to impress others. Begging comes in here. Begging fits in here perfectly. The length and the length of the fish always gets bigger. Or the golf score always gets smaller. You know anything about golf, the smaller your score, the better golfer you are. Now, my raise is bigger. If you hear somebody got a raise and we got one too, it says bigger. I did great on a test. I used to hear that back in school. I did great on a test. Then we find out later some of them didn't do as great. Now, why do we lie in this way? Why don't we just come out and say, this is what it was? Well, it's because we might make others think less about us. Others may not think we're as good as we want them to think. Okay? The fourth reason. We lie to manipulate others, to manipulate people. And the only real issue behind this kind of lying is selfishness and greed. This is what I call the calculated lie. Lies told to cause people to do what we want them to do. Examples of this is con men or women. For example, a car salesman. Have you ever been in one of those places where they tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Not for any of them, if there is one. How about lying on their taxes? That's the next one. No, maybe it's not. Politicians, yeah, that's the next one. How many of them tell the truth? Okay, how about telemarketers? How many of those tell the truth? People that call you and want to sell you something or get you involved in something. How about lying on their taxes? How many of you have ever done that? Don't answer me. Just think to yourself. You didn't report something that should have been reported, or you didn't report as much as you should have. Lying to our spouse. How many's been involved with that? Lying to our children. Lying to our parents. Our parents, well, we'll see what that. Lying to our teachers, or lying to our bosses. It's a calculated lie in order to manipulate them. Why do we lie in this way? I think it's simple. For personal gain. Something that we want to gain from it, and so we go ahead and do it. Sometimes it's to keep us out of trouble. Okay, the next one is we lie because it's convenient. You see, the real motive here is our laziness. And examples of convenient lies is the phone rings and you say, tell them I'm not at home. I'm not here. Ever heard that one? Well, I will start my diet tomorrow. Okay, have you ever used that or heard it used? Or young people, Charlie's heard some of these. I did not do my homework because my parents made me do something, and then I had to go to bed right afterwards, so I didn't get the time to do it. or I did not know what I was supposed to do, or I didn't understand. Or when we're late for something. Sometimes we give an excuse. I've heard this many times being in leadership at work. When the alarm didn't go off. Or there was so much traffic, I just couldn't get here on time. Or the car didn't start. Or I had a flat. And some of these might be true and some of them are just stories. I just say, okay, whatever. That's between you and God. Let's get to work. But some cases I know it's dishonesty. Now, why do we lie in this way? Because it takes more effort to tell the truth. You see, brothers and sisters, if our hearts are filled with anger, if they're filled with resentment, they're filled with fear, insecurity, greed, selfishness, and laziness, we will lie. That's what Satan wants us to do, and that's what we fall into. We fall into his trap. And lying is a sign of a serious heart defect every time it occurs. Every time. There's no exceptions. Remember in a text that we read earlier in Matthew 15:19, which says, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, and so on, adultery, sexual immorality, death, lies, and slander. Now, what is the solution? How are we as God's children going to become honest people and get out of this trap that Satan's brought us into? Well, first of all, I've given some reason, but first of all, we must admit we have a problem. Mirror guilt. We do nothing about our lives until we're honest enough with ourselves, admitting that we are guilty of the sin. Maybe it's just a small fraction, but we're still, if we're in a small fraction, we're guilty. We must be more interested in our character than our reputation. Now some of you think, what do you mean? My reputation is important. Well, think of it this way. Character is what we are. Reputation is what others think we are. And I'm concerned about what I am and who I am and my standing before God than I am about what other people think about me. Now, that's important to me, too. But what God thinks of me is the most important thing. And so I have to be interested in my character. An inordinate amount of time or attention being concerned about what others think of us will cause us to be dishonest or lie. And so we have to admit our guilt. Admit we've got a problem. And then ask God and others to help us deal with it. Secondly, we must watch our diet. Now what do I mean by that? Watch our diet. Now what I mean by that statement is, we have to watch what we intake. What do you take into your mind? What do you take into your heart? God is taking into your mind and heart using means the garbage will come out of the mouth. And my advice for each of us is to not buy books, to not buy magazines, listen to the radio, or watch any television programs that deal in rumor, insinuations, gossip, slander, and half-truths. It's just not worth it. Because we take that stuff in their minds, in their hearts. And this probably includes many of the talk shows that we watch. I spent some time just viewing a few of these before I decided to put this statement in my lesson this morning. But I noticed very few, if any, I might have been seen one or two maybe, but very few talk shows that give 30 minutes, even 10 minutes of wholesome, edifying, uplifting, God-like conversations. It is usually on sex of some kind. We need to stop being a participant in this junk. It's unwholesome. Listen to Paul as he addresses this issue in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. And this is really important, brothers and sisters, what he says here. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is what? True. If there is any excellent, if anything worthy of praise, let your on these things. The things you have heard and received, and you heard and seen in me, do what? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If you want God with you, this is the way. He will be with you. And that's what we need. God is with us in right thinking. We are thinking good, wholesome thoughts. Amen? Okay, the third thing we need to do is wash the company we keep. Now, this is pretty clear. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But some people are gossips, and some people are slanders, backbiters, always on the hunt for another victim. And my encouragement is to stay away from these people. Do not allow yourself to be drawn into such ugly behavior, ungodly behavior. In 1 Corinthians 15:32 tells us, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You get into the wrong crowds, get into the wrong people, and you know it brings you down. So watch the company we keep. Get away from those people. We're creating problems for us. Even if we think they're our best friends, they're not our friends if you're dragging us down into Satan's world. Okay, first, ask God to help. This is a prayer that He will always answer, and will always answer it positively. God will always say yes to such prayers, because that's what He wants us to be. He does not want us to be people who lie, people who don't have any integrity. He wants us to be people of honesty. So when we ask for His assistance, we will hear after aid. You can almost count on it. Okay, and number 6, ask others to help. Ask others to help. Find somebody in the body of Christ that you can confide in and ask them to help you. Ask them to pray with you and for you. Make yourself accountable to them. And so honesty becomes a habit of the heart. Okay? I appreciate it when people check on you and ask me, how are you doing? Well, whether or not things are going good for you. Because if I want to be honest, I have to tell them the truth. And then I get their prayers, especially if I ask for it. This is why God has placed us within the church family, so that we can assist one another, so that we can pray for one another, and to bear one another's burdens. And then in Psalms chapter 34, verses 12 through 13, it says, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from spreading lies. If we want to live long, we will have many good days, and keep our tongues from evil. May God help us practice these 10 eternal principles from the 10 commandments. I'm going to have to conclude. Let's go to the next slide. If we are guilty of lying in any fashion, we must recognize our sin. We must do something about it and recognize that we do have a problem. Okay? We must acknowledge and confess our sin. Next point. And repent of it, or forsake it, or abandon it. And seek forgiveness through the cleansing blood of Jesus. That's so important. Genuine repentance is forsaking our sin. Okay, next slide. Galatians chapter 23, verses 26 through 27 says, for you are all guilty. You are all sons of God. Through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Okay? So if we are a Christian, we have clothed ourselves with Christ. And if we clothe ourselves with Christ, I don't think he needs to see lying coming out of that body. So if as a Christian you have sin, acknowledge it to God. Confess them to Him. Seek His forgiveness and turn from them instead and turn your back on them and not continue to do them. And He will. He has promised us He will. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if you will confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's promises are true. God's promises are right. And finally, let's note one more thing. nothing. No thing in this world is worth giving up eternity with the one who gave everything for us. Lying is not worth it. It's not worth spending eternity with Satan. I tell you, if you get a scripture of hell in the scriptures, read it if you can't and haven't seen it. And you'll know you don't want any part of that. No, there's not one thing in this world giving up our time in eternity with God. And so this morning, my time is gone. So I'd like to go to the text of the song that's been collected with some of the verses in that. Found on page 339, Trust of the Day. If there's anyone who wants the Lord's help, and strive to help them, be able to change your life, be able to make them new in right with him, take the opportunity as we sing the song together.